This is Archer of ArcherRadio.com. Today is Monday, June 12th, 2006, and I have the boyfriend with me again tonight. Say hi, boyfriend.
Hi.
Boyfriend, what are you up to? How come you're sitting here naked?
I just took a nice warm bath, and I soaked my back. I pulled my back.
How'd you do that?
I can't figure it out, but my back was hurting very badly this morning when I got up. And so I soaked it in a warm bath, and I just got out of the tub, and you said, come here and do this show right now.
No, I didn't say it like
yes,
that.
Yes, you did. You're angry with me because I woke you up from your
nap. Well,
because
you were such a bitch. You were so mean to me.
I simply was trying to see if you would respond to a little saline solution therapy.
Don't put your mouth so close to the microphone.
Archer took... He said, I'm going to lie down and take a very quick nap.
Wait, no.
It was at least 45 minutes, and he had been sleeping.
No.
And I decided, well, if he keeps sleeping, he's not going to sleep tonight. He's going to keep me up all night long. So I was taking my contact lenses out, and I had the bottle of saline solution in my hand. And I thought, I wonder if he would wake up if I squirted him with this bottle of saline solution. And so I walked into the den. He was fast asleep. He had his teddy bear in his hands.
I did not.
And I simply squirted him with saline solution. And he was completely startled. The look on his face, you could have sworn that I was Linda Blair in The Exorcist with her head spinning about, vomiting green bile. Well, needless to say, it woke him up. And he has been angry ever since.
This is not true. I haven't been angry. I was very mad at the time, sweetheart, but I'm fine with it now. I just
you were sleeping too long.
Okay, well, here's the thing. Let's judge this. Let's have the listeners judge this because we went to winery saying I have a red wine headache, and I actually still have it. And my head was
just...
You
only went to two.
I know, but
we didn't have that much wine.
I know, but for some reason I had a red wine headache. Anyway... So my head was pounding. I said, honey, I just need to lay down for like 20 minutes, a half an hour at the
most. Yes, it was 45 minutes at least.
So I laid down and I turned on the TV, and you were sitting here when I started the DVR, which I was playing Motor Week.
I don't even know what DVR is.
Digital video recorder. It's the thing that I can record shows on.
I just think you were sitting here, lying here. You didn't even tell me what was on the TV at 7:50.
You didn't let me finish, honey. I started playing the show Motor Week, which is 30 minutes long. The show's 30 minutes long. When you came in and squirted the bottle of saline solution at me and woke me up, what was still on? What was still playing? Motor Week. It was at the end of the show.
No, so it was Stormwatch on the Weather Channel.
No, it wasn't.
Which is 50 after the hour.
No.
That means you had been sleeping for almost an hour.
No.
Now, but I did not squirt the entire bottle. It was just one spritz.
Okay. Let's say that.
One spritz.
Yes, but let's describe this. You were standing at the door when you squirted me. I'm laying on the couch, which is easily 8 feet away. He squirted this saline solution from the entrance of my den across the room onto the couch and hit me.
And then you woke up and said, what is that? What is that? What are you squirting at me? What is it? And it was just water.
It's saline solution.
You acted like it was like...
acid.
Battery acid or something. And I was laughing so hard I couldn't tell you. It's just water.
I know, but why were you squirting that shit?
Because you were sleeping so hard, I didn't even think you were going to wake up.
Yes, now here's the thing about that. When the boyfriend comes to my house, or even at his house, and he's taking a nap, and he says, wake me up in 20 minutes,
right.
I go in there and I say, sweetie, you said to wake you up in 20 minutes. It's been 20 minutes. Do you want to wake up now? Do I squirt you with saline solution?
It was simply an experiment.
Experiment gone wrong.
No, it went right because it woke you up.
But did you?
And look how convivial you are this evening.
Did you even think of maybe just gently touching me and say, honey, maybe you should wake up now?
Yes, I did. And I decided to squirt you with water.
It's not like you're. I'm a cat. And you're trying to train me to not to climb on the counter or something.
Well, no, but I am training you to eat.
Oh no,
fruits and vegetables. And so,
please back your mouth away from the microphone 2 inches.
And so that saline solution gave you a taste of seaweed.
I don't think so.
You're also Asian. You're an Asian lesbian. And you know you...
Wait a minute. Where'd the lesbian part come in?
We had this conversation last year when you had that massage. And that lesbian who was into Asian chicks mauled you with her paws. And we decided that you were indeed Asian and a lesbian. And so that seaweed gave you a taste of seaweed, sea salt, sea vegetables... And look, it's past 9:30 and you're doing a show. You're up, alive, you're full of life. I think my experiment worked.
I don't know that I just don't think I needed to be squirted awake. And ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you that this boyfriend was in hysterics laughing about this.
He was on the floor laughing
for a good 15 minutes. He just couldn't stop. he's still laughing. Your eyes are tearing up. Now stop.
Your reaction was priceless.
It wasn't very funny at the time.
It is now. You're laughing too.
Because it was funny, but my head is still killing me.
Well, I don't know why, because we did not have a lot of wine today.
I don't know why my head is hurting either.
I don't either.
Oh, my goodness. So, how are you, boyfriend?
I'm, well, except for my back.
Your back. Now, is the massage therapist coming in later?
Yes. And he has promised to give me a therapeutic massage with erotic overtones.
How much does he charge?
His fee is priceless.
What do you mean, priceless?
His skills are so expert that to put a price on his abilities would be an insult.
And what's his name, Archer?
His name...
Yeah.
Is...
Yes, honey. Dead air on the podcast is not good. Do you know what that means? Do you know what dead air is? Oh, he's getting mad now. Look at those eyes. Okay.
His name is...
You can't...
Des Armatito.
Okay, whatever. Should we talk to...
I think he said... He described himself... I will say, he described himself as... Early 40s.
Mm-hmm.
Asian.
Mm-hmm.
Multilingual.
Mm-hmm.
And skilled with his hands.
I see. Okay. Well, I can't wait for him to show up. Would he give me a massage too?
If you can speak his language.
Well, I can, because as you know, I speak 7 languages.
And they're all Asian dialects.
This is true. I did want to tell the listeners that I'm currently suffering yet another infliction from the boyfriend on my right bicep. Do you see this, honey? If you go to my blog, my regular blog, archer.com, you will see a photograph of a big black and blue bruise on my bicep. Oh.
Well, I take no responsibility.
The boyfriend inflicted that bruise last night. Of course, it was during, let's just call it a sexual maneuver.
Well, I recall that Archer was extremely stressed from a very difficult week at work.
I was.
And then he had a very stressful experience in traffic getting to my house.
Yes, it only took...
In the meantime,
it only
I prepared,
took 55 minutes to get
I
to your house.
I prepared a lovely seafood dinner. And then I promised to give him some erotic tension release. And so I had candles lit in the bedroom, and I had a nice lavender massage oil ready to give him all kinds of stress release. And at some point, things got very...
What?
Aggressive.
Well, I was just laying
and there. His arm was in the way.
And it hurt.
And I warned him. I said, this massage is strictly therapeutic.
Yeah, right.
Well, before I could even say massage oil, I was being mauled, pawed, and fondled.
That's not true.
I had to take action because I warned him. This is a therapeutic clinical massage.
Then
I was fully clothed.
Yeah, but halfway through you said, do you mind if I take off my pants?
I did not say that.
And then you said,
I said, it seems a little warm in here.
It is warm in here. Maybe I should take off my shirt.
I simply gave that suggestion. I did not. Simply because I took off my pants does not mean I asked to be molested.
But then, towards the end, you were like, oh, it's really warm in here. Do you mind if I take off my underclothing, my underpanties?
I think nudity and the human body are simply natural expressions of our natural selves.
And that's why you're sitting here totally nude right now.
I am simply recovering from a very, very hot bath.
Was it really hot?
Well, yeah, I had the water on boiling.
Well, I heard it running the whole time. Did you have it dripping into the tub, keeping it
warm? Well,
yes,
because your drain stopper doesn't quite stop.
Oh, it didn't?
No.
I've never used that one before.
Oh, that water was so hot. You have a very tricky faucet.
I know. I need to get it replaced. I can't help it.
Well, you did it on purpose. I don't feel sorry. I do not feel remorse for waking you up with my bottle of saline solution. Because when I turned that water on, thinking, oh, I'm just going to take a nice warm bubble bath, it was scalding hot. Your faucet simply cannot be maneuvered to a comfortable level. You did it on purpose.
No, I didn't do it on purpose.
You boiled like a live lobster. Tossed into a pot of boiling water.
No.
I was led to believe that I was going to be taking a comfortable bubble bath.
Well, honey, you just have
little
to learn
did
how
I know
to,
that I was going to be boiled alive.
You have to learn how to control the knob thing so that it's done just right. And you obviously don't know how to do that. Well, I'm so sorry that happened to you. By the way, did you hang up your towel? Because you'll need a dry towel for the morning.
Oh, that's right. I'm only allowed one dry towel, and it has to last me like an entire month.
No. No. Now, let's change subjects here for a minute. Would you like to listen to that voicemail we heard a couple minutes ago and talk about that? Or would you?
Sure, whatever.
Are you interested in that? Is that something?
If you are, yeah.
Do you have opinions about it?
Well, let's play it and see.
All right, boys and girls, this is from Skype. I got a voicemail from Henry from Chosen Thought, and it's like 3 minutes long, so take a listen to this. And the boyfriend and I will try to refrain from talking while he talks. So listen to this. Here it comes.
Hey, Archer, it's Henry from Chosen Thought. I've been looking to see whether you're on recently, and usually it'll say something like, do you want to be on the show? And then it'll say, do not disturb.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Or, do you want to be on the show? And I'm busy. Or something either. Anyway, I guess you've got a pretty full plate. You've had some great shows recently. I'm glad
Thank
to
you.
See Chef Mark becoming more a part of your podcast, and I just wanted to say hello and let you know that we're still surviving up here in Maine.
Glad to hear it.
And you got me thinking on recently when you mentioned the court decision that had to do with a deputy DA who was demoted and transferred, I guess, for having discovered that a warrant was not properly executed and that it was there was a problem. I went and read the decision. It looked to me like there was a problem because the road that they said had tire tracks on it was not the kind of road that could have tire tracks on it, if that makes sense to you. And so they knew somebody was lying. And one of the things that occurred to me when I was reading the opinion is that I'm not sure I'm all that upset with the opinion. One of the things that a DA's office does is it kind of acts like a law firm. And you'd have to kind of imagine what it would be like if someone in your law firm started working for the opposing party and testifying for the opposing party. Would you fire them? Even if it was over something that you believed was just, I think that there's a difference between whether or not you simply bring the matter up to the public forum and say, here, look at it, review it, and whether or not you start batting for the the other team. And I don't mean that in the way that gay people usually conceive of it. So anyway, I just thought I'd give you a little bit of feedback on that and say that I've been happy with the diversity of the show recently, and I don't just mean that in terms of sexual orientation. It's rambling out there. I know you're going to do an interview with Ramblin' Redhead, but you've been rambling yourself, so.
I know.
My best to you and the boyfriend, and take care. I look forward to many more fun shows with Archer Radio.
Thank you very much, Henry. First of all, let me say thank you for the message. And second of all, hold on, we got a call. Damn it. Hello?
Hello, Archer.
Hey, Special Delivery Mark, how are you?
It's Archer. Am I on here?
You are on Archer Radio.
Well, it's not being very special tonight, is it?
Why? I can hear you.
Woohoo! How's things going, Archer?
I'm just fine. How are you?
Oh, it sounds really cruddy, man.
Oh, I'm sorry. That
sucks.
I'm doing
great. Survived Mother's Day.
Good. I've got
a big delay, too. God damn it.
Must be on your end. I've got the boyfriend here on tonight, too.
Hello.
Oh, hey, Stanislaus. How are you tonight?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful.
Great.
Glad
Does
to
Archer
hear
Archer have a special name?
No special name tonight.
Well, we can make one up.
Certainly.
You know, I think Archer deserves a very special name this evening. And I think Archer is looking more to me like a Boris this evening. So let's call him Boris.
But he's not boring.
Not at all.
No, it doesn't have anything to do with boring, I'm sure.
He is Boris the Brilliant.
Boris the Brilliant, not bore us. Got it.
Right. So what's new with you?
What's new with me? Well, I'll talk about that on Pizza Show because it's kind of X-rated.
Well, we can do X-rated here on Archer Radio.
Well, I'm sitting here buck naked.
He actually truly is. He is naked right now.
Well, we know he's an exhibitionist. Otherwise, he wouldn't have posed for you originally.
Oh,
absolutely. That's true.
Well, I took a very hot bath, and Archer didn't tell me that he has a problem with his plumbing. So I gingerly stepped into the bathtub and got boiled alive like a lobster being sent to slaughter.
Okay.
So I'm simply sitting here trying to recover.
And he's already mentioned this on the show. See, we're in the middle of a show right now, and he's already talked about this.
Well, I see. Well,
go ahead.
Sounds very colorful.
Yes, I'm red. The color now is red.
Well, when the blisters start, we'll call the doctor.
Yeah.
So anyway, obviously it sounds like you've been having some sex lately.
Well, actually, when I was doing my podcasting from the library, I met somebody there.
Oh.
Like, met someone
cruising.
Okay.
At the library.
I know. I was shocked and amazed.
My. And what did you do with him?
I took him for a drive in my special little car to a special little parking place.
Oh.
And then what did you do to him?
I ravaged him.
Oh, my. So you didn't express your love in the library?
Oh, no. There was just a few winks back and forth, and bada bing, bada boom.
Oh, gotcha.
Well, now
we should have got a room.
So love was shared out in the wild.
Yes, it was fantastic.
Okay, describe what this guy was like.
He's a Latino-looking young man.
Young man? How young?
Between 20 and 30.
Oh, my.
Mark.
I felt like a dirty old pervert, man. I'm sitting here at 41, and this hottie 25-year-old was all into it. At least he didn't call me daddy or anything.
Well, maybe he's into older men.
No, he says, I love it when I find guys around my age. And I'm like, okay. Oh, you don't know gosh. I'm 41. He thought I was in my 30s. That was cool. Okay.
That is cool. Well, so what did you do?
We just did a bunch of oral out in the middle of the parking lot.
And did you swallow or spit?
Oh.
Oh, gross.
Oh, stop. You are such a pervert.
I got him hot to trot and made him finish himself, and he had to wipe his own belly up.
There you go.
Oh, my.
Like a used piece of Kleenex.
Exactly.
And did you finish yourself off?
Oh, no. No, I was just into getting him done. So.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Well, when you've got someone young and hot and hot ready to go, I could see that.
And we took a few nature walks. We've hooked up a few other times.
Oh, cool.
Oh, my. Is this going to be a boyfriend now?
Oh, hell no. Hell no.
I don't think so.
Hell to the no.
They're under 35. No, there's nothing interesting about them relationship-wise.
Well, in that kind of a circumstance, they really are used tissue.
Yes, and they're using my mouth, so it's mutual.
Yeah.
My. So what else is new? Anything?
I can't really say that there's too much exciting going on up here. It's June, it's Pride Month, and there's not a damn Pride event within 55 miles of me.
Oh, that sucks.
The lesbians are all having their own private little barbecue, but the boys aren't allowed to that one.
Oh, that's no fun.
They're very extremely separatist.
Are the lesbians out there more of the nature lovers?
Yeah, they're more of the older, retired ladies. They seem to be in the older area.
Oh, okay.
I don't know too many youngins.
Do they shave their legs?
I wouldn't know. I don't. They all wear pants.
Oh.
I see.
Archer's a lesbian.
I know. I saw his plaid shirt.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I have one on right now. Oh, but I shave my legs.
You shave your legs and wear a plaid shirt.
Yeah.
He's a lipstick lesbian.
I shave my cooter, too.
Because you hate Bush, right?
That's right. I hate Bush.
He loves dick. Hates Bush, but loves dick.
Exactly.
Well, that's one of the lesbians had on her bumper sticker. I shave my pubes because I hate Bush.
I've seen something like that. Something about hating Bush. But anyway.
So, yeah, not too much exciting. Sorry, guys.
That's all right.
I'm just glad to be back on my DSL at home.
I know. It's been so long.
Such a traumatic adventure. Oh, my God. It took hours on the phone. Hours and hours.
But see, now, excuse me. Now you're back and you can do all your own show posting yourself. You don't have to do it at the public library.
Right. And I can do my cruising on Craigslist and all that without having somebody look over my shoulder.
Oh, that's good, too.
Now, how is that on Craigslist?
I just go for the free porn.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you don't actually hook up with anybody?
Oh, so no. They all lie.
Yeah, that's what I would think.
I don't know, because I've never...
If you do set up something, they never show up, ever.
I've never met anybody through Craigslist, so I have no idea.
I tried once or twice. Now I just go for the pictures they post of themselves.
Well, I've tried even to find a tennis partner.
I was just going
to
say, you've done the tennis thing.
And they've been
there.
The biggest flakes.
Hmm. You've never been able to hook up with anybody?
No. Well, one guy was really looking for a female tennis player who looked hot in a skirt.
So what was the problem? You're perfect.
Really? I bet you you'd look lovely in a skirt.
Well, I'm sure I look excellent in a skirt, but I was 42.
Oh.
I've just looked for tennis partners, and it's a lot of back and forth emailing and never anything definite. And I'm like, you know, all I want to do is play tennis. So I just stopped. It just seems silly.
Yeah. I tried to set up things and email back and forth. Hey, Mark, can you send me your pics? Yeah. You send some pics, and that's all they want.
Yeah.
Once they get the pic, they stop emailing. So, yeah. I don't know, either I totally offend them, or or they're just after the pictures.
Now, so what kind of pic- somebody else. What kind of pictures are you sending them?
Giblets.
So, oh, well, then you're not sending that picture of you in those pink biker shorts?
No.
That's
well. I was quite proud of those biker shorts, thank you. I walked around in public exposing my giblets.
I can't believe God. You.
I walked into the local grocery store, and I got looks. But were... nobody said, oh my God, look at that homo.
Well, they wouldn't say that out loud.
They would up here.
Well, for the boyfriend's information, a special delivery Mark was going on this hike, and he wore pink, like, spandex biker shorts.
Mm-hmm. No underwear.
No underwear. Oh. And you could see his...
Commando.
Testicles and his penis easily outlined.
Your extended clitoris.
Yes.
It looked even better once the Viagra kicked in when I got down to the...
Oh, my God. Jeez. Well, listen, so Mark. Go ahead.
An area where people go to expose themselves and be in nature naturally, so...
Oh, I see. Oh, a nudist colony.
Yes, so it was not unexpected.
I see. Well, listen, I hate to cut you off, but we have to go because the show's just about over, okay?
Well, it was wonderful chatting with you boys this evening.
Oh, absolutely.
It was fun chatting with you, too. Thanks so much for calling.
You're welcome. Have a pleasant weekend.
You, too.
You, too.
We'll catch up again soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, so that was our little chat with Mark. We were just right in the middle of discussion when Mark called, and I know we're getting close to the end of the show, but I just wanted to get back to Henry's phone call. He was saying that he kind of agreed with the decision on the Supreme Court case about the whistleblowers, and I just wanted to tell him that I understand the decision. However, I don't agree with it because I think if you see injustice happening, whether it's in your workplace, under your position, your job position, I think you should still be able to bring it to the public and say, you know, what's wrong. I understand that you can't do it in your official
position. Well, let's draw a comparison. Let's assume in our professions, we know, well, I think your listeners all know we're teachers.
So yes,
let's say
do.
I know a teacher in my department has been giving answers to the county-wide history exam.
Mm-hmm.
Or let's say I know a teacher in my department has been photographing the exam and handing it out to certain students so that they can score higher than other students.
Mm-hmm.
Or let's say I'm aware that the head of my department has been forging documents so that it looks like students in the history department are outscoring whatever. I mean, as a teacher in that department, I mean, I'm kind of in a bind because on one hand, I have a contractual relationship. I work for these people. And yet I know that inequities, dishonesty, lies are being perpetuated. Students are being injured by these actions. And unless I speak up, it's going to continue.
Right.
But so
who do you speak up to?
Well, then that's the case. So, and in fact, well, I think there was a very similar case with teachers in my county. In which teachers were doctoring results on exams to falsify scores, and some teachers decided they were going to go to the media and expose all of it because the administrators were in cahoots with all of this. They were being threatened with being fired, and so this happened years ago.
Yeah, I remember that.
I'm not going to say where. They were being threatened. Their jobs were being threatened. They were told they would never teach again. They would have black marks on their personnel. Well, so they went public. They went to the local media. So in the particular times we're living in, and I'm not, you know, I haven't, you know, I know about the decision from what I read in the newspaper. I have not read verbatim the opinion or dissenting opinions. I know it was a 5-4 decision, but. you know, as a history teacher and an awareness of the democratic process and what happens when executives, I think what we're seeing in our current time is a grasp of power by the executive branch.
Yes.
And so a lot of the whistleblowing we have seen in the past year or two, all of it goes back to really Bush's first administration and what happened prior to and after 9/11, the run-up to the war with Iraq, the surveillance of Americans under cover of 9/11, so now they can, you know, they tapped our phones.
For 4 years.
All of this has been going on, and it's been under the cover of executive privilege or no cover at all. It's been breaking the law. It's unconstitutional. So, but for these folks speaking out and saying, well, listen, I work in this department. I work for the government. I work for whoever. You know, I have a superior or a supervisor who represents the United States government, but yet I know that these violations are going on. And unless I go public, either Americans will continue to be injured or I'm going to lose my job.
Right.
So I think that's, you know, and
it comes down to that you should have the right to do that without losing your job.
Well, you have to, because you would, I mean, in our positions as educators, we would face the same risks.
But according to this case that has been passed by the Supreme Court, you can no longer do that. You can go ahead and say what you want, but you can be fired for it.
Okay, but the decision rendered, the opinion given, we have to look at Roberts and Alito, both of whom support a very strong executive branch.
Which they do.
And so that decision protects the executive branch.
The higher ups.
Realistically,
in any
for the average American who works in the school office or whatever, I mean, or who knows how this is going to impact anyone else in the workforce? It protects the American. It protects the executive. Right now, it protects the executive branch.
Exactly,
which is exactly what George Bush. Well, really, Dick Cheney. Dick Cheney drives all of this.
Well, in terms of this case and what Henry was saying, the specific case the Supreme Court decision was based on is a different story altogether. But what the point is the actual outcome of the case in the Supreme Court, saying that this guy could not speak out in his official capacity as the district attorney or assistant district attorney, whatever. But basically what it's saying is that no matter what you are, who you are, you can now be fired for speaking out in your official capacity in your workplace, because you speak out against injustices happening,
right,
that you see in
which would happen to any of us, only now that kind of action would be sanctioned by law.
Right. So, Henry, even though you were speaking specifically about that case, I think ultimately it really what it comes down to is that civil liberties, again, are being eroded away. We're getting more and more...
Civil liberties in regard to checks and balances... As an American citizen, my role is to check the power of the branches of government, either through my vote, or if I know that wrongdoing is going on as a citizen, checks and balances. I mean, I can check the balances of government. So my ability to check a power grab by the executive branch or overreach, civil liberties in that, and I don't know if that even qualifies as civil liberties.
Well,
is my ability as an American citizen to raise my hand and say, wait a minute.
Wait, right.
I work in this environment. I'm in this atmosphere, and I know something is wrong.
Exactly.
And unless I speak up, Americans are going to be injured by this, so I'm speaking up.
But if you speak up, you can lose your job.
Yes. Now, if I speak up, I can lose my job.
Right.
Yes.
I don't agree with that. So.
And but for George Bush, and here's no other American president has had as many classified secrets declared. In fact, and we can even go a little further with the signing statements. George Bush, the fallacy is that there's never been anything he's vetoed, but he signed these things with signing statements.
What's a signing statement?
Meaning, if this law, and I know that I'm roughly paraphrasing, I'm not an American government teacher, but I'm going to sign this into law. However, I reserve the right to ignore this law
for himself
in order for me to pursue an objective. And all of this is under the cloak and dagger of 9/11.
Right.
They're out to get us, the terrorists. So national security fear.
Right.
So I will sign this into law,
but it doesn't apply to me.
I reserve the right not to follow it in the name of national security.
As the president of the United States.
And no other I think it's now up to 750 laws that fall under this, you know, these signing statements.
Yeah.
So you know, that plus the whistleblowing concerns. I mean, it's an executive power. It's bordering on absolute monarchy or dictatorship.
Sure is.
When you think about it, and you know, so that's
all right.
I view it with some alarm, and you know, I think we're saying. I mean, I'm two more years of this. We can all hold our. It's just a very dark, cynical period. I mean, as a history teacher, and I've said this before, but I think, in fact, it's already happening. History is usually, historians look back 50 years, you know, after World War II, there's a wave of literature 10, 20, 30, 40 years afterwards. And then now there's pieces of literature coming out having another look at World War II, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really, hindsight is considered, you know, 50 years when historians can really get a grasp of what's happened in a historical sense. But I think I am going to be alive and kicking when historians have looked back on this period and have judged it to be a very dark, cynical, embarrassing phase of our history. In fact, it's happening now. Historians have already
said that he's the worst president.
The Bush presidency, one of, if not one of, the worst.
Right. Oh, what a terrible way to end the show. But we are going to end the show. Would you like to stick around for another one?
All right.
Okay. All right, boys and girls, tune in tomorrow because the boyfriend will be back. So I do want to say thank you to Henry. Thank you to Special Ed Mark. Oops. Special Delivery Mark for that phone call. I know Mr. Poos calls him Special Ed Mark.
Bye, Boris.
Bye now. Until next time, bye.
Bye. I should